This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Tabor Space, Coffee House and Community Center, presenting Taborfest, a celebration of Tabor Space's first year and fundraiser for its future, including vendor tastings, bodywork, yoga, jam sessions, coffee, food, community forums, and music by cellist Gideon Freudman and European cabaret ensemble Padam Padam. Taborfest, September 24th and 25th at Southeast Belmont and 55th, 503-704-3272 or taborspace.org.
Andy Warhol, let's just scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Good morning. Welcome to Art Focus. I'm Kathleen Stevenson, sitting in for Ava Lake. My guest is Kelly Rauer, multimedia artist and art administrator. She is currently the managing director at New American Art Union, or NAAU, which is located very near KABU at 922 Southeast Ankeny. Kelly Rauer has a show at NAAU through September 19th. It's a video installation called Shaping Sequence. It is composed of large-scale video projections edited from over 40 improvised compositions. The images are close-ups of parts of the body slowly moving within the camera frame, and it lasts about 30 minutes. We'll be talking about this show and other issues related to Kelly's work on Art Focus today. Kelly, thanks very much for coming into KABU.
Thanks for having me.
Let's talk about you first. You are a multimedia artist, and as you describe in your statement for Shaping Sequence, for the last 5 years you've been trying to balance art making, curating, art administration, and exhibition design, which mm-hmm. is quite a variety of things to
yes,
do.
Yes, it is.
Tell us a little bit about your art making over the last 5 years, especially how you see it as leading up to your current video installation.
Well, I originally was working in photography a lot, studied it in high school and all through college. And upon graduating, I realized it wasn't quite, it just wasn't quite enough. And so I just started exploring other facets. And this current installation began with a desire to return to the photographic medium, but it just evolved over time and became more a video installation. And so that's where I took it.
Mm-hmm. And how long a time was that for the evolution of this piece?
I began actual production, recording and editing in about September of last year. So the gestation period was quite a long time, and I think really was a key part of the piece. It would have been something quite different had it been a shorter period of time. So a lot of my work currently has taken a longer time frame to develop than it used to, mm-hmm. which I actually have enjoyed.
Right. So, also with your photography, you come from, as you mentioned, a conceptually based practice. Can you tell us about that and how that relates to video and photography also?
Well, I think I've been exploring the more experiential forms of art and being very interested in science and the perception of our identity, who we are, how we form who we are, has been a really key focus point for me through, I think, since the beginning, really. So I had been doing quite a bit of research into gender identity, psychology, philosophy, and had been spending quite a long, about a year or so, doing a lot of readings, a lot of scientific journals and articles, and it was quite heavy information. And I had spent a lot of time writing and thinking up conceptual projects, and so I was feeling like there was a lack of physical engagement with my work and wanting to create a piece that I could be more free and be physically making something and move away from all this heady thinking, processing, conceptualization, and just move back into the body. And so that's kind of the track movement from my conceptual work into this piece. But I feel like all of the research and thinking I had been doing was definitely a key part. I can't point directly to how they connect, but I feel just a focusing in on the body and its forms and structure is a carry through.
And was the research into gender identification, or what was the focus of your research subject-wise?
I was looking into gender roles and gender norms for both the binary gender system and really kind of digging in and trying to understand why it exists and how it was formed and all of the research that is out there that is working to maintain that system. I just feel like there's so much more to people and how we present ourselves, and I feel like our gender norms are quite limiting. I'm sorry, I forgot the question.
Oh, that's okay. No, that's exactly what I was interested in, is just sort of what prompted you to go into this right. particular area of exploration from both a scientific and then how it kind of ends up relating to your visual work.
Really, I feel like it was kind of a personal, as it often is, reason. In the last 5 years, doing multiple jobs in order to make life work, I was going, even in one day, changing through several different costumes. I was remodeling houses, and I would be in Carhartts and T-shirts and hair up and moving heavy sheetrock and wood and being very dirty, and then later in the day have to put on a dress and heels and have a meeting with a grant officer. And so in one day, I was starting to realize through the different costumes the perspective and the experience I was having with other people and strangers and how they were looking and seeing and reacting to me. And so I really started to focus in on why that was such a big deal to people and how much that affected the way that I was engaged with based on what I was wearing. So, and just the challenges, too, of me feeling comfortable in many different attire, but wondering why it's only appropriate for me to wear certain dress in certain areas and different scenarios. So,
right, right. And probably what people said to you in your different roles made a difference.
Definitely. There was some pretty strong reactions in certain cases. So,
okay. I'm speaking with Kelly Rauer. We're talking about her installation at the New American Art Union here near KBOO at 922 Southeast Ankeny. So maybe this would be a good time, Kelly, for us to talk specifically about the installation and what shaping sequence looks like. Let's describe what the viewer experiences It's a quiet, dark room with a large projection area of, what, about 10 by 20? Is that?
Yes.
And so tell us what it looks like and what a person coming in to see it would experience.
Well, there are, over the course of the 30 minutes, 8 different compositions or sequences that last anywhere from 2 minutes long to, I think the longest is 7 minutes. And they have the feeling of, at least to me, various windows that simultaneously take physical form but are also openings into another space. I think the way that I was filming and where I was filming in my studio, engaging with the window light was a key part of the piece, and dealing and working with existing light only, it had a lot to do with windows, and I was engaging with the frame a lot, or as a primary structure for the piece. So when editing, it became, the frame was a key part of the structure, and it started to feel very sculptural in a way, too, where I was using individual compositions to build a greater composition, and allowing each frame of video to dictate its own necessary shape and its cropping and its orientation to other things, what wanted to be much larger and take precedent over the others. So there's the emphasis was that the body was larger than life, and to create a quiet, calming space that would pull people to focus in on the body and to slow time down, because I'm moving very slowly, not as slow as I can move, as I have figured out. I can move a lot slower, but it was meant to slow time down and just create a quiet, focused space.
Okay, so you've gotten, in your answer, you've gotten into a couple of things that I wanted to mention. And so I sort of think of a camera frame as being about the shape of the general overall projection area of your whole installation. And then within that area, this large area, are all these other shapes that are different in each sequence, and they themselves transform. Sometimes they fade in and out, and sometimes there's only two parts of that whole area filled, and sometimes it's almost all filled with. And then within each of those shapes themselves, there are this filming of this body that is parts of this body, which is you. And so the viewer gets to see and it's moving very slowly, these various frames, which are shapes within the larger frame, and those parts are moving very slowly. So your eye focuses on one, goes from one to another and back, and tries to make sense of it. That was my response as the viewer. And one of the things that's really interesting is that you can't really identify often, especially at first, what part of the body it is that's being shown. Talk a little bit about how you chose what parts of the body to film.
Well, I feel the original focus was to obscure the identity of the body originally. I had a project I was thinking about where I was interested in photographing both male and female bodies in a way that you were, it was unclear as to what gender of body you were looking at. Excuse me. So that was because I think that was a beginning point. When I started filming, I realized how much I enjoyed the ambiguity. And even though I knew what part of the body it was that I was looking at, my brain would cycle through similar parts of my body that looked like that as well. And I really enjoyed that experience. And I also enjoyed how, because the compositions were slow, that I could reveal information to some degree, but then slowly that would move away. And even though you may have known and seen that, yes, that was my wrist, when informed by the other parts of the body playing simultaneously, you would bounce around and look back like clouds moving across the sky. The composition has changed quite dramatically, and you no longer remember what part of the body that is. So I was interested in this locating and dislocation because it meant that you were focusing and thinking and scanning through the body and thinking about different areas of the body and mm-hmm. what they're supposed to look like or do look like, and just getting an opportunity to explore and pay witness to the different colors and textures of body.
Right. So the close-upness of the images allows the viewer to see lots of wrinkles mm-hmm. and moles and mm-hmm. things like that, imperfections in the body, and that was intentional on your part.
Yes, I think I'm quite fascinated and I find all bodies in all their various aspects quite beautiful, and I don't enjoy the marketing of the plasticized body, and so I was really interested in exploring the realness, which was a point of doing the HD and trying to maintain that quality throughout, because it was that intimacy that was really important. But I didn't want it to be confrontational. I didn't want it to be too uncomfortable for most people to experience. I wanted it to remain somewhat ambiguous and never sexualized, so that mm-hmm. Realness was a real important aspect for me.
Yeah, I think as a viewer, I think I was sort of primed to see some kind of, sexual part of the body exposed
right.
during this, and there was none. And I mm-hmm. sometimes anticipated that something was a sexual part, and then as
right.
it got to be revealed, it was like the end of your elbow or something.
Mm-hmm.
So is that what you were hoping for a viewer?
You know, it's always interesting to put up a piece in any form and then have people experience it and get responses, and it gives you distance finally from the piece to look at it and explore what's actually happening or happened in the piece and reasons for doing certain things. I don't think that I was particularly focused in on the tension per se of the expectation of seeing a sexualized part of the body. I think that's just something that had come up through some of the viewers' experience. However, I was very aware of what was just outside the frame, and that was sometimes quite challenging to move in a way, and that was often part of the movement, was to obscure those parts of the body. Mm-hmm. And so I was constantly aware of what was just outside the frame, and I do think that was maybe more on a subconscious level, something was going on there, but it wasn't a major focus.
And so photographing yourself, how did you actually photograph yourself, or did you have somebody?
I did. The camera is in a fixed position. I think I was always alone, and yes, it was they were sort of performances for camera each time, and I set it up as I've been really interested in ritual acts and moments, and it was an interesting point for me to want to slow down also and to create a quiet space. And so there was the two parts of, one, my own personal experience with filming and creating the footage, and then two, putting the footage together and creating an experiential piece for viewers to engage with.
How much time did it take you to actually choose what you were using?
I have no idea. I have so much footage that didn't get included, which it was like a amazing puzzle of various parts and different time scales. And I stayed very true to real time, not changing the speed of any frames. And the piece could have easily been over an hour long. But I wanted it to be feasibly digestible for most viewers to feel like they had seen the whole piece in its entirety, even though there isn't a beginning or an end. But there was an amazing amount of footage that I collected, and I'd work with it many hours and then go back and film, or realize that I needed more of an underarm or an elbow,
Uh-huh.
But that was about the only point of directorship that I gave myself. I was never choreographed or pre-composed. It was just standing in front of the camera and seeing where the light fell on the wall and engaging with the shadows and the light in the frame.
Yeah, and you mentioned the light in the windows being so important. And it's interesting because they do become an element in the piece, the shadows, it's almost like some geometric forms mm-hmm. compared to the forms of the body.
Yeah, I found that a really exciting element to work against and with is the hard line geometry of the shadows and the frame itself and the interjection of my curvature, soft body-like forms engaging in and around and with the geometric shapes. That was a definite interest and part. It became very, very much focused on abstraction and pulling apart and abstracting even further.
I'm speaking with Kelly Rauer. She is a multimedia artist, and her installation, Shaping Sequence, is currently up at the New American Art Union, or NAAU. One of the reviews of your show, which was on Port, mentioned a couple artists that they thought were factors in your work. Kandinsky and Stieglitz's photographs of Georgia O'Keeffe's hands. I wondered if you saw that or who you relate to as traditions or artists that you look to.
Well, the photographic masters were definitely a key influence in this piece for me. They were very fundamental in my beginnings as an artist. They really shaped how I saw the world, and I would say more Edward Weston was a key person, and Imogen Cunningham were two photographers that I really took to and felt that this piece was sort of an homage to, not directly, but I was definitely, their work was very present in my experience. And Annette Messager, a French artist, she has done quite a bit with photographing very intimate aspects of the body and its various parts and putting together these conglomerations of different parts. And she also was an artist that was very influential to me in the beginning. This piece, I think, was a lot about returning to certain aspects that had formed my, I guess, experience of being an artist.
Mm-hmm. So, and then with all those people that you mentioned, none of them have actual movement in their work. And
that's correct.
You know,
it was really, I originally started thinking about this piece as moving photographs. And it was as though I got to take and be in front of the camera and take all the things that I love about photography and continuously allow that composition to grow and evolve. And that was just such a wonderful experience to be able to find a composition. Instead of just taking a snapshot moment, I was able to respond to the light and make continuous composition, multiple thousands of compositions in every instant, you know, working to, as if you were to take a picture at any moment, that would be a composition, a finished piece. And so that was something that I was holding in my mind the whole time, was that even though there was movement and there was a time involved, that at any instant you could take a photograph and it would be a piece that I felt strongly about.
Mm-hmm. So. I'm speaking with Kelly Rauer. We're talking about her installation, Shaping Sequence. So I wanted to ask you about a little bit more about the gender aspect of your work. You had some previous work that also dealt with gender. Do you want to talk about maybe, for instance, the video installation at Milepost 5 where you swallowed a line of sewing thread?
I'm quite interested in labels and categorization, and that piece evolved and is still evolving into its second part piece. But I identified aggressive and emotional as two characteristics that were quite difficult to own from the opposite sex. I felt like aggressive was a challenging title for a female and emotional was a challenging title for men. And so I was exploring my own relationship to the word aggressive because that's something that has been a criticism of my ways in certain areas, being a little too masculine and just exploring what I felt like was appropriate means for dealing with aggression, which is to pacify, which is the and to internalize, which is why I laid out the word and you know, took it into my mouth, was the internalization of that characteristic and also a way of processing, trying to break it down and really own that characteristic. So,
has your work on shaping sequence given you more ideas as to how to deal with gender in the body in future pieces?
Well, I know that gender was probably an element in this piece. I don't know that I would say that it's a focus point. If it is, it's more about representation of body and of people and an acknowledgement and a honoring of just who we are naturally rather than who we're supposed to be and idealized versions of ourselves. So if anything, the continuation would be just an exploration of real, living, breathing, warm bodies in their actual existence. But I don't know. We'll see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. You've kind of alluded to this, but is there anything more that you could say about how you would hope that people would experience this piece when they come to New American Art Union?
My only hope is that they feel at ease or they have experienced a slowing down or an opportunity to do so if that is what they would like. The timing and pacing of the piece was such that I wanted it slow but not too slow, that it couldn't pick someone's attention along and kind of pull them easily along. I was just really interested in creating an intimate, quiet space that was welcoming and open and warm and beautiful, I guess, in the end. And I really, you know, a couple of people mentioned how much it changed or it highlighted certain focuses for them once they left or they felt they often would come out and thank me for that quiet space. I just feel like there's rarely work that is quiet and slows us down and brings us into ourselves. So that's, I guess, my hope.
Do you feel okay about the term meditative? Or?
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Because it felt like that to me. There was a meditative element.
Yeah, it was something that was required of myself as well in making the work. As soon as I lost focus, I would start moving faster and, you know, I'd realize that I was moving fast and I'd have to come back to my awareness of self and be in the moment. So
we just have a few minutes left, I think, Kelly, and I wanted to just ask you briefly about your role. As we started this interview, I mentioned that you're trying to balance these different things, art making and curating and art administration, exhibition design. How's that working out? You're right now, you're the manager of New American Art Union. How is the balance going for you?
I think balance is the most difficult thing to come by for anyone and all of us and any element of life. But it's an amazing opportunity that I've had over the last 5 years to work with so many artists. It's been like its own graduate program, really, and working with artists in various capacities on so many different types of work at so many different levels in their careers that I was able to learn through many triumphs and many mistakes. And so that has been integral in how my work has developed. And I think, I mean, I'm working towards a balance, but I think it's constantly a challenge, something that you never are just suddenly on the top of and like, here I am, now I can not focus on this anymore. I think it's just life is in constant flux and I have to think about it all the time.
And I know that you mentioned to me earlier that there were people that you wanted to thank regarding this project.
Yes. Dustin Zemel of Grand Detour has been an invaluable resource. And I think one amazing thing about the piece was that I stretched outside of, and I often stretch outside of my present knowledge to not only learn new things, but to work with new people. And this helped me reach out and meet new people. And Joshua Noble, my list is huge. I just wanted to give props to Grand Detour because he is working on creating a space for experimental works and video. So that is a resource for the community. So check him out.
Okay. So, again, I've been speaking with Kelly Rauer. She's been my guest today on Art Focus. She is currently managing director at New American Art Union. Her show, Shaping Sequence, is up through September 19th. You can see it at NAAU, which is located at 922 Southeast Ankeny. You can see images from the show at newamericanartunion.com. We will be making today's interview available on the Art Focus page on KBOO's website later this week. That's kboo.org/artfocus. I'm Kathleen Stevenson. Stay tuned for the KBOO Community Calendar and Buscando America. And thank you very much, Kelly, for coming in today.
Thank you for having me.
KBOO, Portland, 90.7 FM.
Hi, this is Sasha Booker with the KBOO Afternoon News Update. In international news, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu left for Washington this morning to meet with President Obama, and then he will resume peace talks with the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas on Thursday. Iraqi Prime Minister Nouri Maliki has made the statement that the country is now formally independent. He stated that the country's security force would now deal with all future threats. Almost daily attacks have killed more than 85 people in the first 3 weeks of August in Iraq. China will hear a lawsuit from a prospective schoolteacher who was denied a job because of his HIV status. The case is the first time a new regulation prohibiting job discrimination in the country based on HIV has been used. According to the lawyer representing the plaintiff in the case, courts in the past were very reluctant to accept HIV discrimination cases. In Chile, workers have begun drilling to reach the 33 trapped miners that are trapped underground. The workers have to drill through 2,300 feet of rock to take out the workers. Rescuers are planning to send food down to the miners over the next few days. The miners so far have been living on liquid diets. In national news, President Obama is scheduled to give a primetime address this evening to discuss the winding down of operations in Iraq. Top aides are promising there will be no mission accomplished signs. The Oval Office was going to have a new look this evening. President Obama replaced the sunburst rug with a wheat and cream-colored carpet. The centerpiece of the boxy